We are the Morning Jam.
So usually when we bring you in, it's because not great things have been occurring. I think we've seen more violence here in the past few weeks, locally and nationally, than we've seen in quite some time. I mean, we had that shooting in Vinton. That took place yesterday at McDonald's, like last night around 9:30. We've had multiple stories over the weekend, including the one that we talked about out of Hollywood. The woman was shot on the subway train.
Armed carjacking in Lynchburg.
Armed carjacking in Lynchburg. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And a lot of people not able to get the mental health help that they need. That's even worse than ever because of COVID right now, and short staffing on police staff and that type thing. We want you to address a little bit about, you know, what things you need to look for when you're out and about, like the situation. Let's go to the situation in Lynchburg that took place last week.
Yeah, it sounds like that they were, you know, these boys flagged the car over. Maybe the people thought they were needing help, but it goes back to situational awareness. It goes back to putting yourself, don't put yourself in a situation or a location that you know is bad or you think is bad. Now, I don't know what street, I didn't read the article. I don't know what street this was on or what area it was in. But if you're in an area and something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. And there's nothing wrong, the time that we're living in now, there's nothing wrong if somebody's trying to flag you down, go around them. And then go at the end of the street and call the police or keep traveling and say, hey, I was in the whatever 100 block of whatever street.
And there's some kids trying to flag down a car.
They might want to check some help. That's right.
And that's what I would have done. And I have done that.
Absolutely.
Before. If I saw somebody broken down on the side of the road and they're kind of waving, then I would call 911. Because, I mean, let's face it. Most kids have a cell phone. I mean, they do. Now, I think maybe what helped that situation was the youngest child was, 12?
Yeah. And now those kids have a stolen cell phone, so they do have the ability to call.
Jeez. That's right.
A little sarcasm. But you know, it goes back to don't put yourself in a situation that you don't feel comfortable doing. Situation awareness and be aware of your surroundings. And there's always, it's okay to remove yourself from somewhere where you don't feel comfortable.
In the situation in Hollywood, The man, they said he was obviously agitated. He was pacing the train and then got into an altercation with this woman.
And shot her.
And then just stepped off the train. You have to be aware of those things and get away.
You do. The biggest problem is our limbic system in the brain is wired to protect us. It doesn't hesitate. It doesn't reason. It doesn't do math. It doesn't communicate. It's simply wired to protect us, but we have that human part of the brain that tells us, that's telling us, you're okay. This isn't what you think it is. You're being paranoid.
You're overreacting.
Don't listen to your gut. We got to listen to that limbic system that tells us something's not right. Remove yourself. Go away. But that human part of the brain is going to tell us, you're being paranoid. You're going to get in trouble for you know,
and
reporting this person.
I tell my kids all the time, you know, if you're afraid of being embarrassed, who cares?
Who cares?
If you're embarrassed?
You're alive.
You don't know these people.
Your blood stays in your body. Your wallet stays in your money stays in your wallet because you're not going to get sued. Or, you know, it's, there is nothing wrong at all with retreating. Nothing at all with retreating.
All right. So let's switch over to the Gabby story, which we were talking about before Marco came in. This is a classic situation where there are all kinds of documented examples of why she should not have been with this young man. Let's talk about some of the things that women need to look for. Women are the best at, or the worst at, downplaying things. Oh, you know, that's not what he means. That wasn't meant in a threatening
way.
He
had a bad day. That's why he hit me. It's okay. He apologized. The thing we have to realize is that there is a way out. I hear a lot of women that say, I couldn't leave because we had kids. I couldn't leave because he put a roof over our heads. I couldn't leave because he was my financial support. There are ways to get help. and to remove yourself from that. And mm-hmm. and it's going to progress. From what I've seen in my police career, what I've done with research is once somebody hits you, whether it's male or female, once somebody goes hands-on with you, it's going to progress and it's going to continue. So, you know, stuff on the you know, your person that you're dating or married to has a tracking device on your phone, right. What we talked about earlier. They want to remove you from your friends. They want to control you financially, isolate you. Mm-hmm. They hit you and they say that they're sorry. That's unacceptable. No, nobody should go hands-on.
And I mean, it's different if your significant other wants to know you got to work safe. That's
right.
One thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if they're tracking your every move, right. That's different.
Yeah, that is different. That's a, you know, it's a form of stalking, although you're married or you're dating them, but it's a form of stalking. And we all have to be individuals and have our own freedom. And, you know, you can work as a team as a husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, but there has to be mutual agreeing, and you can't, it's not fully controlling. And I just did a lengthy video with a girl that her name is Summer, and she came out of she wanted to talk about her event and was talking about how it progressed. It was little things. It went started with punching holes in the wall.
Jeez.
And she's going to, we did this video. She's going to put it out publicly, but she wanted to do it to let other ladies know that, that you can remove yourself from that. And there's mm-hmm. help. And she's got a brand new baby. He mm-hmm. put her in a house. He worked to help pay the bills. Things were in both their names. And she decided, no, the thing that made her decide was, he had her on the bed one day, upside down with her head off the bed, choking her. She's looking at her child upside down and thinking, I'm going to die in front of my child. That's horrible.
And how does it get to that point? Yeah. And then they're embarrassed.
Embarrassed, yeah.
And the same thing happens with men. There are men are abused by women.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to tell people that they've gotten themselves in that.
It's not,
they will isolate you and they will control your money and they will embarrass you.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that it's just women. No, it works both ways.
It does. Mm-hmm.
People, men and women, both get abused, and you have to reach out for help. You have to ask for help. Recognize the signs, and reach out for help.
Now, speaking to that, you have a podcast mm-hmm. that deal with a variety of subjects. So, if someone's interested in a longer form, how do they access that?
It's anchor.fm/T4Tactics. The easiest way is just go to my website, click on podcast. It'll take you to the Anchor site, and you can scroll a whole bunch of situational awareness classes, mm-hmm. domestic violence information. There's podcasts on there to get help. There's self-defense, firearm, active shooter information.
And it's all free.
It's all free. Absolutely. And I try to keep most of them short, within 20 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's not something really lengthy that you're tied down to.
Quick question. And I didn't warn you about this coming in, but it's hit me. The Squid Game, the thing, the challenge that was put out just a couple of weeks ago to kids on TikTok mm-hmm. to punch a school teacher a certain week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how culture, social media and culture and media in general, entertainment, is influencing us to do wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
As a former policeman, I mean, what kind of conversations do you think are going on currently around the country in a local police station saying, guys, we have to watch out for this? What's that like for a law enforcement?
I retired in 07, and I can't imagine what it's like being law enforcement or a police officer in this country mm-hmm. just within the past 3 or 4 years.
Right.
But you remember years ago, there was a knockout challenge where you'd put on social media, you'd run it behind somebody and knock them out.
Right.
Because I talked to my kids about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it was taking place everywhere.
Right. Yeah. But I can't imagine what the police officers say, and you know, and what are we going to do with this? How are we going to handle it? What, you know, where do we start? Does it start in schools? It goes back to, and here we go with McAuliffe. I don't understand how McAuliffe can say mm-hmm. that the parents cannot be connected to schools,
right?
And they don't have a voice.
They don't have a voice. Right. That doesn't. So does that mean when you send your kid, when your kid walks out of your front door to go to school or the playground or park, you don't have any control as a parent?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
And that's the problem. We need to get parents involved with their kids.
Right.
Speaking to that, we've got an event coming up tomorrow with mm-hmm. Glenn Youngkin at your place. We're going to talk about that when we return here on the Morning Jam. It's going to be held from 4 to 6. We'll tell you more when we come back.
You put it on your toast and on the radio at daybreak. The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m.
7:51, I want a Marco. And we got him in the studio.
Yeah, we do. Now, you've got an event coming up tomorrow. You know, we love our law enforcement folks.
Yeah.
We really appreciate first responders. It breaks my heart to see how our police are being treated right now.
Yeah.
Tell us about this event that you've got coming up tomorrow from 4 to 6.
Glenn Youngkin wants to do an appreciation for law enforcement event. And they reached out to me. They want to do it at the office. So we've got, literally, we've got law enforcement chiefs, sheriffs, officers coming from all over the region. It's not just local. We've got a lot of elected officials that are going to be there. But it's a chance for Glenn to meet and greet law enforcement and show his appreciation. And that's what it is. The campaign has said it's nothing more than he just wants to show appreciation for what they do and what they continue to do.
Hmm.
And that's nice.
How refreshing.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't hear that. We don't hear politicians doing that. Well, we hear them in their commercials doing it when it's time for election. But do they really do it? So he wants to really do it.
Now, is this just for active law enforcement?
It can be for retired, active.
You need to register if you want to come?
No, just come by. We're set up to have a lot of people. And I think it's going to be a big event. But it's also a time to, you know, to meet a police officer or a chief or sheriff and ask them what's going on. And if you can meet Glenn, shake his hand and say hello to him. And so it's support for everything. But mainly it's focused on supporting law enforcement.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's
a good event. And they need that support, especially with what LPD put out yesterday with having to shift. That's very concerning.
Yeah. Taking resource police out of schools.
And they have to do that. I understand they have to do it, but that is very concerning.
Because they haven't been on the street for a while.
Right. And what they're saying is calls for service are going to take a lot longer to get there now because they are stretched very thin. We've got to support law enforcement. We've got to pay them more. We've got to get some good people in there. Mm-hmm. Our law enforcement have to be paid more.
And they even, Chief Zudema even said that.
Yeah.
You know. We're certainly not.
How about we not build another frickin' circle in this town?
Yeah.
And pay some policemen. Sorry, I almost said the bad word. But anyway, I mean it's silly.
Yeah, there's priorities that we can do, and one of them should be public safety. The top priority should be public safety.
Well, and the other thing that they're having to deal with, they're getting more mental health related calls than ever before.
Right. Right. People don't know how. The general public thinks, fire department, police department, it's okay. They're funded okay. When you need them, you're going to wish they were funded okay. And so we've got to pay the police and the fire department more. Or that's what keeps the town or city or county secured.
Yeah,
is police departments and fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
and we talk about all the time with these shootings that we see, whether they're local or they're national. Mm-hmm. When you get down to the core issue, it comes down to mental health.
Mm-hmm. It does.
That's where you want to stop systemic, shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to go to the root of the problem.
That's right.
And most of the time, it's mental health.
Right.
And when they get these calls, Chief Zudema was saying that they've gotten an increase in mental health related calls, and the officers who respond to those sometimes have to stay with the patients for days.
That's ridiculous how it's set up. I don't want to keep saying this is how we did it. You know, I don't like saying, this is how we did it up north. Here's how we did it in Florida. But in Florida, we had a Baker Act, which was the same thing. You take somebody in to custody, you drop them off at the hospital, and then the staff takes them. It probably took us a half hour. And I'll tell you one thing, that system here is broken.
Yeah.
There is no reason at all to tie up a police officer that long. Mm-hmm. When we can turn them over to the proper medical staff, psychiatric staff, to take care of them.
I've had that conversation. I've had people say, we are getting ready to Baker Act him because I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
And like you say, it puts them in that process where
they're going to get help.
They're a lot more trained.
But this is a state issue.
Mm-hmm. It is a state issue.
And that's something that that needs to be talked about with Glenn Youngkin.
And yeah. Northam has closed several facilities
right.
that help these people.
They weren't even accepting right. mental health right. patients
yeah.
not that long
right.
ago.
Mm-hmm. But we can't be tying up police officers for this. It, yeah. it's mental health is important, but it needs to be take the person to the mental health facility,
right.
properly turn them over, and get back on the road and start yes. answering calls.
And they're working with Horizon mm-hmm. Behavioral Health with that.
Right. Good.
But state law requires an officer be present in many cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So until we get rid of that,
right,
right.
their hands are tied.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think it's important for the police officer to make decisions that this person is a danger to themselves or others,
right.
and let's go ahead and take them into a facility.
Sure.
I think that part's important, but the process of turning them over should not take hours and hours or days, literally right. Days.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So apparently the department has been trying to convince the state to change those laws. For
yeah.
a while now.
Yeah.
So that's something that we need to put pressure on our representatives sure. and get that changed.
Yeah, get something done.
Because yeah. because it does need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Mental health is critical in crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's the start of everything, I mm-hmm. think. Many times we've talked about that on the show.
And it's that threat assessment. I just did a video on threat assessment for a YouTube video and a podcast on the shooting that occurred at the Dallas Timberview Church
yes.
or school.
School, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And that was they missed the threat assessment on that.
Mm-hmm.
They missed the threat, and that's why the shooting occurred.
Yeah. And so expand on that just a little bit.
So threat assessment is a non-adversarial process. Every facility, every single facility should have a threat assessment team. Very easy to set up. It doesn't cost anything to run it. But the threat assessment team, for instance, in this shooting in Dallas at this school, this kid was being bullied. His lunch money was being stolen. Mm-hmm. He was being beat up. This is going on and on and on and on. If they had a threat assessment team that caught it, then somebody would have said, okay, let's get this boy help. Let's find out who the bullies are. Now
and deal with it.
And deal with it. We've addressed the problem. But by ignoring a problem or not having a threat assessment team set up at your facility, these are how these shootings occur.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of businesses that I've trained throughout the country that have called and said, hey, the threat assessment team you set up worked. Here's what happened. And
right.
we identified it.
Sure.
And again, it's once you get it set up and running, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not time consuming at all.
Right.
It's just a team that works. Threats can come from internal or external.
Right.
And they can come from many different ways.
Yeah.
But we got to have a team set up to stop that threat.
Yeah.
Leah says, along with mental health is a soft judicial system.
Mm.
Yeah, we have gone soft with that.
Yeah, we also have another listener who pointed out, you know, we're moving our resource officers out of the schools.
Bad, mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah, bad.
There's your threat assessment team leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bad guys are going to go where there's no resistance.
Right, sure.
They're going to go for that soft target. We're creating a soft target.
Sure,
yeah. Bad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marco. We appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Start your mornings on the right foot and listen to The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.